The views and opinions expressed on this show are purely the views and opinions of the person who made them, and do not necessarily reflect or agree with those of the show's commercial sponsors, its radio station affiliates, or internet broadcast platforms. As the restriction on our God-given right to free speech manifests itself throughout the world, we are inspired by Jesus Christ's immortal words, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And we reserve the rights to all our words. Thank you, and now enjoy the show.
Who rules over you? Simply find out who you are not allowed to criticise. You are listening to ACH. I'm Andy, your host, and before I start today's show, I would like to thank George for his recent donation. I can only keep the show on the air via book sales or donations, so if you're able to help with either of those, please go to my website, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. Now, today I'm delighted to have back on the show a good friend of mine who's been much in demand in the last year. Delighted to have him on today. He is Ole Damagard. I'm going to bring him up right now. Ole, are you with me?
I sure am.
Excellent. Well, great to have you on. I've been catching some of your shows on different websites, Ole, and you're the master of, exposing the false flag events and exposing this group. So it didn't surprise me when the largest false flag that's ever been unleashed on us resulted in you doing tours and all sorts of things. Can you let the audience know what you've been up to in the last year?
Oh, my God. Have you got, like, 16 hours nonstop? No, it's... These are intense, scary, fantastic, incredible, horrible times where we have chance to excel ourselves. And so I wanted to, when you mentioned that we was going to do, you wanted to do a show about the ongoing COVID operation, I would very much like to take you on a bit of a ride back in time, almost a year, almost exactly a year, to explain what I believe was planned, what was being stopped, and what is the reason for so many of these weird, bizarre details with, you know, with empty hospital and lots of things that doesn't make any sense. I believe that I've got the explanation to a lot of what we don't understand at the moment.
That sounds excellent. Please take that away, Ole.
Okay, so a year ago, I was on tour in Sweden. I've just finished the tour now, totally sold out and absolutely amazing with the shift in awareness. And it's just amazing. Like when I compare to, I've been doing this for 40 years and it's been a long, lone, very sad and frustrating ride up until the last 5-8 years or something like that. And now it seems like it's exploding thanks to this pandemic here that is totally backfiring if we can manage to transcend it. But anyway, I was on tour last year, and while on tour on, I think it was October the 21st, I stumbled across something that was, I think, almost divinely guided to me, because I don't think a lot of other extreme geeks than me would have noticed the details, because, as you know, I've been doing this for so many years. So when it comes to false flag operations and the forces behind it, it's almost like a secret language, a hidden language that they, once you start learning it, you start seeing how they communicate. It's almost like learning grammar to a new language, and the humor of a new language, and so on. So after a while, what I've started to do is that I've been able to sort of decode a lot of what is going on. And up to date, I've been exposing 59 planned false flag massacres or mass shootings up to 2 months before they actually happened on international radio. So without bragging, or just a little bit, my last name has now been turned into a verb. So hashtag Damagarding or hashtag Damagard is to find the hidden clues about upcoming planned attacks. Anyway, so I was on tour, and one of the things that I was focusing on at that time was to expose the alleged truck attack in Stockholm that took place in April 2017. And one of the things that I found, or people sent to me, was this incredible film sequence. It's like a TED talk, and it's at a conference here in Sweden, in Stockholm, some months after this attack happened. And there was a man, he's the security coordinating officer of a coordinating, organism, official organism called Samverkan, and which mean cooperation. And his name is Ola Slettenmark, and he was sort of the spider in the web in case of any emergency, of any major emergencies like earthquakes or whatever, should that happen in Sweden. But anyway, his job was to be the coordinating individual that were combining the efforts of the fire brigades, the ambulance, the police, the military, the government, the secret police, and so on, in case of any major disaster. And so this should be someone we could trust. At least I would prefer so. Anyway, in this presentation, he was speaking in front of people, and this was being filmed. I have it online. It was being filmed, and he was speaking to people, I think, in that business, you know, military intelligence, security people, I'm not sure. But anyway, the presentation was called The Drill That Became Reality. And when you look at how false flag operations are carried out, the drill is always there. It's always there as one major ingredient of the setup for a false flag operation, because they need the drill to be able to close off streets, get rid of normal people that could be too nosy, or it's always for our protection, and then get vehicles in position, explosives, smoke bombs, crisis actors, marketing agents, catering, whatever is needed for these operations. So every time there's a drill, I'm sort of like, whoa, let's just see it. Because sometimes it's there for our protection, and sometimes it's part of a false flag operation. Very often, NATO operations, state-sponsored terrorism backed by the CIA, the local intelligence agency, and Mossad. It's very often, I mean, Mossad are the masters of what is called terrorism, or I would almost say the inventors of it. So anyway, in this presentation, he describes what happened from the minute this terror attack happened, and for more than less 1 hour that followed. And this was at a time when officially nobody knew who had been driving this truck that drove down one of the main pedestrian street in Stockholm, officially killing five people and injuring a lot of other people, and then ending up smashing right into a mall. So anyway, in this presentation, he says, I quote, that 1 minute before the attack happened, he sent out a mass email to all the key people within ambulance, fire brigade, police, security, all of these key people, and raised the terror threat level 1 minute before the attack happened. So I'm like, what? I quote him, 1 minute before the attack happened, he sent out and raised the terror threat level. How is that possible if you're not involved? And it is not. And how did you even know that it was a terror attack? I mean, at that point, nobody knew the driver. It could have been an epileptic seizure. It could have been a heart attack. It could have been a drunk driver. You know, it was only in the evening, some 6 hours later, that the official guy was arrested, you know. So how was that possible? And so for me, that is like a golden nugget, because he just shot himself in the foot and gave away the whole operation within that sentence. And then he followed the whole thing up with that within like less than 10 minutes later, they had like a big meeting, a security meeting, and within 15 meters they had called in, you know, special force, all of these things. They locked down the defense ministry, they locked in the government, they closed off everyone on the street into the shop so nobody could look in. They stopped the train lines, they stopped all bus traffic, all subway traffic, all train, all of it. How could they do that if it was only a normal traffic accident? So I've been exposing this guy, Olof Slettenmark, and I believe that I destroyed his career. What can I say? Sorry about that. Not really. But anyway, so when I found this guy, I thought, oh my God, here is what a real terrorist looks like. Not on a super high level, but on a key position. Because when I started tracking this guy down, I found that he was the opening speaker in 2015, where the biggest security drill in Europe, it was called, if I remember right, Exercise Unified Response in England, where people from many different NATO countries was part of this massive, massive drill where they were simulating a train disaster. But they had recreated, I think it was the Waterloo train station, but out in an industrial area, in a old factory building. They had recreated a whole exact copy of the Waterloo train station, and with all the trains, with crisis actors, with all that. So this guy is not just anyone. So I kept tracking him down, and then I found that he was working for something called CTPN, which is Counter Terrorism Preparedness Network, which is a coordinating organization that is there for our security, but combining the efforts of resilience. They say resilience. I think resilience is the code word for real terrorism, this type of terrorism. I mean, Gladio-backed NATO operations that are really carrying out what is called terrorism. Not Allah Akbar. That is just a diversion and pointing towards picked out patsies. Anyway, this counterterrorism preparedness network combined the efforts of some cities in London. It was Manchester, London, Paris, Barcelona, Rotterdam, and Sweden, Stockholm, Sweden. And it was funded by the Rockefeller Foundation. And every time when you look at the Rockefeller Foundation or Gates Foundation or whatever, these type of big heavyweights when it comes to financing, you will see that they work hand in hand with the New World Order, the effort to take over this world into and make us live in some horror film movie scenario. Awful, awful. So I started tracking this guy down, and I was also looking at his Twitter account, which was he only had like 216 people following him. But when I checked out who they were, all of them seemed to be involved in similar activity. So I thought, whoa, what is this? Once again, I do not think that this filmed presentation was meant for any so-called ordinary person to see. This was just leaked out by somebody with a good conscience. I don't think that this Twitter account was meant to be seen by anyone else either. But often the people involved in these operations are, I think they see themselves as patriots. I think they see us as useless eaters that need to be guided, maybe depopulated. But they have a very arrogant, like untouchable approach, the way they carry themselves, the way they speak, the way they move. And so they get careless, you know, the ego takes over. And this is exactly what happened in that presentation, because how stupid can you get when you say it in front of film cameras that you were part of the operation? It's absolutely just pure stupidity. Anyway, so in his Twitter account, I started seeing that he had been moving around and being on location when several of these alleged terror attacks had happened around in the world, like in Barcelona, like in Toronto, like in Well, I can't remember, but and also he had like invitations to the ambassador, you know, with gold and letters, and you know he was moving around in the VIP club. And then I found one tweet that said, "We're now here on La Rambla in Barcelona, where a very similar attack to the Stockholm attack happened just a few months later." And he said, "It's very emotional to be here," and I thought, why is it emotional to you, Mr. Slettenmark? Was it because your grandmother was killed in that attack, or is it because you were involved in it? So I kept digging, and then I fell across this tweet that said, "We have now celebrated our 500th meeting." That's 500. That is, Andrew, a hell of a lot of meetings if you're only working locally in Stockholm for security. And no, they had just celebrated that. And he said, "We've now decided on a coordinated," I can't remember the exact word he was using, but like event, a coordinated operation of 39 coordinated events with a duration of 36 hours on October 23 and 24. When I read that, I just felt, what the hell is this? I mean, the way I interpret their way of communicating, what he is saying, we have now decided and locked in 39 coordinated targets in Europe with a duration of 36 hours on October 23 and 24, 2019. So I almost felt like puking because I thought, holy crap, this is like 9/11, but even bigger. This could be global mayhem if they pull this off, if I am correct. So I thought they're going to start this operation on October the 23rd. This was on October the 21st. So we had somewhere between 36 and 48 hours before they were going to go live with this, whatever that was. You know, was it a coordinated 39 drills, or was it 39 attacks? And he even gave away the locations. He said Manchester and London, these have both experienced alleged terror attacks, and this was right when the Brexit referendum was going on, meaning if there was absolute mayhem unleashed on the UK at that time, that could shut down the whole so-called democratic whatever operation of the Brexit thing. It could be shut down for our security and with complete lockdown if you had enough mayhem being unleashed. So that would also, you know, give them the chance to say, very sorry, but for your protection, we need to have martial law here for a while. We have to, exactly like they're doing now, you're not allowed to meet more than two people at a time. You're not allowed to demonstrate. You're not allowed to. And by the way, we just have to shut down the internet because these alleged terrorists have used that for communicating, the social media like Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever. So for your protection, we have to shut down the internet as we know it, and then we will open up a commercial version where you will have to pay us, and we will decide what you're allowed to see. So that was England. At this, the next one was Paris, France, where they have this massive problem with the Yellow Vest movement. Same approach, mass mayhem could just lock the whole thing down. Very sorry. We know it's a democracy, but sorry, because for your security, we have to just lock you all up and martial law, boom. Barcelona, Spain, exactly the same. Catalonia is trying to free itself from Spain and the European Union. The European Union is their tool. So Brexit and all of these things, they don't want anyone to leave, because if they do, that could start like a domino effect. And so they need to shut it down. Then we had in Sweden, all of this, I believe, went under the name of Operation Sea Eagle. And in Sweden, that involved two major drills with 1,600 crisis actors, where there was one water plant, power plant in Älvkarleby up in the north of Sweden, and then a nuclear power plant called Forsmark, northeast of Sweden, of Stockholm, where this was going to go. All of these were planned at the same time. And then you had one earthquake drill, NATO drill in Albania and Croatia. And then you had Rotterdam, and Rotterdam in the Netherlands. And I did not understand why, what about Rotterdam? And then I spoke to a naval officer, and she explained to me that Rotterdam is the port, it's the mouth of Europe, where more or less all food import is coming in. So if you knock out the port of Rotterdam, you can create famine in Europe within a week or so. Because nowadays, food is never stored, or so many things are never stored. They're always on the road to save money from warehouses and so on. So 39 coordinated attacks. Do you know how many 39 attacks is? It's boom, 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 and boom. That is a lot of chaos, especially if some of these attacks would have been aimed at the United Nations headquarters, NATO headquarters, so that they could involve this whole thing as an attack, a military attack, which would justify military retaliation against, once again, innocent countries like Afghanistan, Syria, Jordan. I'm sure they would have found that they were pointing in that direction. That would then have served them to go in and once again destroy the Middle East and whatever they needed to in this plan of takeover. Anyway, so also October the 21st is the United Nations Day. So that would be the perfect day to go emotional, you know, to hit there as well. So the more I started seeing, oh my God, what are they planning? This is massive. So I was so lucky or divinely guided that this day, right when I discovered this, a friend of mine, from his name is Mikkel Odane from Wake Up Globe, was there with his film camera. So I said, Mikkel, please, can we just go into the kitchen, turn off the fan, and let's just film one warning in Swedish and one in English. So we did like a 5-minute boom. I said, this, I have no idea, but this is what I fear is being planned. And if there is a chance, we might have like 36 hours to get this information out there. And the more you help spread it, the bigger the chance is that we might even be able to stop it. So from that was about 4 p.m. in the afternoon. And then my tour organizer, Johnny Cash, and I were sitting, contacting radio shows all over the world. I have this incredible network of brave radio hosts like yourself who, you know, I did 5 minutes there from 4 p.m. to 4 a.m. where we just out with it, spread it, spread it, spread it, spread it, spread it. And so after 24 hours, I was checking the number of views on most of these interviews, and we were up to several hundred thousand. So I thought we might be able to make some kind of impact here. Because my whole concern is let people stay safe, you know. Please, please, if this is what is being planned, we have to stop it. We have to stop it. So a day later, October the 23rd came. And I was like, let's see, maybe nothing, maybe absolute chaos, maybe so many drills, maybe I was wrong. I had no idea. So October the 23rd came and more or less nothing happened. The only thing was these, I think there was alleged like 39 immigrants, interesting number, 39 immigrants that died in a truck near one of these ferry stations towards England, between England and I believe Belgium or Holland it must be. So anyway, nothing happened. And I thought, Well, maybe I was wrong. Who knows? But at least we tried. And then a few hours later, I was contacted by a freelance journalist in Belgium, in Brussels, actually, which is also the location of the NATO headquarters, where Mossad, by the way, seems to have their own office in the same building. I wonder why. And so he said, you know, I have been working here for years and I have lots of good intel from military and different sources within the intelligence service and so on. And we've been feeling that something major is building up here, but we haven't been able to understand what until we saw your warning. And he said, are you aware of what's going on in Brussels right now? I said, I have absolutely no idea. He says, right now, there's an emergency meeting where all the defense ministers of NATO have been called to Brussels for this emergency meeting. And it's all because of you, your warning. His words, not mine. So he says there's absolute panic here in the NATO headquarters. So I thought, hallelujah, baby, that would be amazing if we had been able to divinely guided, I don't know how, but stumble across this whole thing and then manage to jam an iron rod into the gearbox of this death machine. So the hours that then followed, suddenly all Israeli embassies globally were shut down because of what they called a general strike. Really? Are you telling me that the staff of Israeli embassies of all countries have managed to organize a global strike to shut them down? I don't buy that. And then also at the very same time, there was an article in a well-respected website called VoltaireNet.org that put up an article saying NATO near implosion. And then that was followed by Vice President Mike Pence and the Secretary of Defense, the U.S. Secretary of Defense, they were turned back midair from a flight in the Middle East to a crisis meeting in Washington. And then Donald Trump went out and said, we've got some great news. We just managed to kill ISIS leader al-Baghdadi. And anyone who knows about ISIS knows that it's a total creation of the U.S. and Israel, of Mossad and CIA, as a woof-woof threat out there, and an upgrade from al-Qaeda. It's the exact same thing, but just al-Qaeda didn't work anymore as a scaring tool, so they had to upgrade it and then change the name all the time so that we didn't understand that it was the same. That's why it's IS, ISIS, ISIL, Daesh, same crap, you know, different name. Anyway, so he went out and said, we finally managed to kill al-Baghdadi. And I was like, that's amazing, Donald, but just a little thing here. That's the fourth press conference you've had where you said that you killed him. So either reincarnation is real or there's something wrong here. Could it be a diversion? So the reason I'm saying this is because this was only, when I discovered this, that was 3 days after the so-called Event 201 in New York. I was not aware of that at the time. But Event 201, if you look at the logo, it's Event 21. The zero is a planet in the between, but it's totally Event 21 connected to Agenda 21, which is the New World Order agenda on steroids. Absolute madness. Absolute madness. Anyway, so at the Event 201, that is where I'm sure many of your listeners know about that. That is an exact rehearsal of the Corona operation, where they practiced, they rehearsed everything. It's the exact virus. It's the only thing that changed that is not the way the live version went on was the location of the epicenter, which in the drill was in South America. And when it went live, was in Wuhan, China. But so at this event, did they have a lot of people from South America? No, but they had some so-called players from China, bio experts and so on. So also at the same time, which I was not aware of at that time, were the World Military Games in Wuhan, of all places. And The World Military Games was created in 1947, exactly at the same time when the OSS went from OSS into the CIA with the help of Operation Paperclip and German scientists and so on. It was also exactly the same time when the CDC, the Center for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia, was created with the help of former German scientists and so on. And they're totally in bed with each other. And CDC is also the owner of many of these patents of these alleged viruses that have then started the pandemic. And it's CDC that are spreading out the numbers that we are then believing, which I tell you, CDC is not the Center for Disease Control, it's the Center for Disease Creation. That's the correct word. Anyway, so this World Military Games was taking place in Wuhan at exactly the same time as October the 23rd and 24th, the time when this was planned to go off. And that meant that you had more than 10,000 soldiers in Wuhan from more than 103 nations, United Nations nations. So what I believe happened is that the idea would be that all of these soldiers were in Wuhan. Then on when the green light was being given, they would unleash absolute Armageddon in Europe. And then all of these soldiers, 10,000 soldiers, would then return immediately to their home countries to try and help out the population in this difficult situation, but thus spreading, they were bringing the virus to all of these countries in one go, meaning that within 24 hours, so unfortunate, quotes, the virus would have been spread to more than 104 nations in one go, boom. But then, thanks to angel interference, I don't know what, and brave people like yourself who was sharing this information, 50% of this operation was suddenly taken away from them. So I believe what happened at this crisis meeting was that they were panicking, they were shitting themselves, and you had a press conference with the chief of NATO, Jens Stoltenberg, who is a former prime minister of Sweden, Norway, a Bilderberger, and also a key player in the mass shooting out on Utøya, where he was then, because of his loyalty to that operation, given the job as chief of NATO. He had a press conference on the 25th, I think, very short one, and he was the when he opened it, he was saying, "Welcome to this press conference." He was terrified. He was terrified. And why? Because of this exposure. So I believe that that meeting, when they were having this emergency meeting, they knew that they had to stay low and go under the radar, wait for this whole thing to blow over. And then when the world population was diverted with something else, they could then unleash the only thing that they had left in this operation, which would be the virus. So what diversion would be better than Christmas and New Year's Eve? So the very first, as far as I know, the very first case that was discovered was on December 31st, or depending on in which time zone you were in, January the 1st. What are the chances that the exact first day of the year, that's when this operation was released into the world? And so this then started a whole operation, absolutely bizarre, of where so many things doesn't make sense. It's because all of the mayhem, the disaster, all of these things that would have diverted the attention away from all of these things that they were planning, is now gone. And so suddenly we're left with a virus that doesn't exist hardly, maybe in certain countries that they have released a bioweapon, a mild bioweapon, I think possibly in Sweden, which is a test country for many other operations here. Maybe that it was they was released in Ecuador as well. But in many countries, I tell you, the hospitals are empty. They have been empty from day one. And my colleague in New York, Jason Goodman, which I do a live show every Monday with him. I've done that for 2-3 years. I think it was him more or less that started what we called hashtag film your hospital, because he went to Manhattan, right in the epicenter of this whole thing, filming hospitals that was absolutely empty. And since then, people have gone so many different countries and gone to their local hospital, filmed them. They are empty. So you got mainstream media saying mass death and millions of this and millions of that. And then you got reality when you go there and you see, my God, absolutely nothing happened. And so this is what I believe was planned. And this is what I believe we're going through now. What I can tell you is that the virus, when I go on tour, I was in Örebro in Sweden a while ago, some months ago. I was shaking hands with every single one. I got so many hugs, you can't believe it. Every single place I go on tour, I stand outside, I welcome every single person. I see them, I hear them, I make them feel that they are heard and seen. And my intention is there to lift the fear out of their mind and empower them to stand up in their own truth, totally nonviolent, but with a strong no and a strong yes. No to fascism, yes to love. And so is that because I'm some kind of a suicidal maniac that I hugged like 1,000 people the last few weeks? Or is it because I've interviewed some of the leading experts in the world about this whole thing? Because I don't know about viruses, I have no idea. But after interviewing them, I have learned so much, and I've started to really understand that this whole is a massive, the biggest psychological operation I believe the world has ever encountered up to date.
Thank you, Ole. A very fascinating presentation there. And I've got a couple of things for you. You mentioned about Mossad is always at the centre of these operations. Well, let me get the right page in my book, The Synagogue of Satan. This is a quote. Well, let me just read the section. When he was asked by prominent journalist Russell Warren Howe if he considered himself the father of terrorism in the Middle East, Menachem Begin proudly replied, "No, in the entire whole world." So I think you're pretty much on the money there. And the other thing, you mentioned that Norway politician who... Was it the massacre by that on that island by that guy who was supposed to be a right-wing Israel supporter? What was his name?
Anders Behring Breivik.
That's it. Is that what you're referring to?
It is. And I mean, I've been traveling around, Andrew, to more or less every single location where alleged terror attacks have happened in Europe. Some of the mass shootings in the US and so on. And I'm not there to prove a point. I'm there to trying to find out what happened. Because if we don't understand what the problem is, then we cannot come up with a solution. And I'm not there to say, oh, mainstream media is lying all the time. But this is what I've been finding, you know, because when I'm on location, and it's shit scary at times, I tell you, because these operations are active years after they actually happened, really with the intention of stopping people like myself to get too close and too close to expose the truth. But what I found more or less everywhere, I'm at a point where I don't even know if a real terrorist exists, except from the people like Ola Slettenmark, these, you know, intelligence agencies. It's like, I don't think that normal people are into terrorism. I don't think that normal people are into blowing each other up, you know, but these agencies are. And just like Menachem Begin, I mean, it's not me speculating. They speak openly about it because they are arrogant and big-headed and proud of what they're doing. So you just have to quote them. And I love it. Then I don't have, it's not me saying something. He said it. And I totally believe him. Because when you look at the structure of the world, Israel is not a tiny little defenseless country. It is massive when it comes to this mayhem that is being pushed on the rest of us. But it's beyond countries. It's not a matter of the US, France, Israel. It is the New World Order, so-called elite. I have a lot of words that is not so flattering to them. But they are way up at the top of the pyramid. But there's one major misunderstanding. They say to us that the pyramid is pointing upwards. That pyramid, the top of the pyramid, is pointing straight down. It is into the darkest of the dark of crap. That is where the elite is. These are not, I would say, I don't even know if the same race as the rest of us, but I mean, they're super, super psychopaths, where you can't really blame them because many of them are born psychopaths. So they don't have empathy in their system. They don't have compassion. They don't have the emotions that say, don't hurt anyone else. They are just there for their ego, for their power, for their whatever it is they're looking for. I don't know. I don't get it. And one time I've interviewed a CIA whistleblower, Chip Tatum, who was actually the commander of George Bush Sr.'s private hit team Pegasus, and he was part of carrying out 14 assassinations. So he knows this beast from the inside. And I said, I just don't get, I don't understand the mentality behind these operations. And he said, well, it's very simple. If you were a psychopathic killer, it would make perfect sense. But now you're not, so you don't get it. Because it's absolutely upside down. We sort of worship the light and we upwards, they worship the darkness and downwards. So it's like plus and minus on a battery or yin-yang. It's you can't meet, really. The only thing I can do is do my absolute utmost to stop it. You know, I cannot accept when people get hurt, or it goes all the way from a bully in the schoolyard. I would stop the bugger, you know, because it's always somebody big pounding the shit out of some small little individual. It's never the other way around. So I will do anything to defend the weak and the defenseless and help them stand up in their own truth, because it's so not okay. And the key to this whole thing is not violence. It is no. They need, evil need our consent. That is part of the setup of this universe. If it doesn't get our consent, it cannot carry it out. And so evil always comes disguised as something really nice, really kind, really beautiful. That's how evil operates. You know, otherwise we would say, oh my God, there's an evil person. And you would just say, I'm not getting anywhere near close to this guy. So it needs to sneak up on us with some really, you know, glossy, nice cover and some fancy name. But it's 180 degrees wrong, false. And that is why I think, since we've been so much up our own butt and so much involved with our own greed and X factor and eating pizza and changing channel, whatever, not caring about our neighbors or our fellow human beings. While doing that, we have allowed these people that have worked very hard for many, many years to concentrate the power to fewer and fewer and fewer and fewer. And now we're in a situation where they're pushing us up into the corner, saying we have to become aware. And this is a beautiful time to find out, who are you? This is a time to look yourself in the mirror and say, who are you? Because all the different shades of gray are gone. It's black or white. That's it. Boom. And it's very painful to see, you know, old friends separating, families separating, whatever, because it's like a filtration going on where we have to sort of make a stand and say, what is important for you? Is the world important for you? Is nature important for you? Is your children's future important for you? Is your desires more important for you? Will you accept whatever just to not take responsibility, to not stand up and face conflict? Is it more important for you to just bend over and let yourself be guided and controlled by fear and propaganda? Or do you prefer a life where truth matters, where courage, the big morals like honesty and beauty and these things, what is important to you? And right now, I tell you, it's like a gladiator game. We're in an arena where the darkness, the evil and good love is fighting each other. So do you want to be up on in the seating area, the VIP area, or do you want to be down be part of making the shift, because history do not look gently on traitors or people that betrayed each other or backstabbed each other for their own good. History normally celebrates the heroes that stood up, like David and Goliath, stood up. Doesn't matter if they got killed or whatever, then they turned into martyrs. They would still be worshipped by a lot of people saying, my God, look at these people. They dare to do that. That is amazing. I mean, so many movies have been made on this script. And so, you know, the hero's journey, all of these things with the archetypes. So who are you? That's the thing that this pandemic is offering us. And indirectly, we have to thank these absolute assholes who are forcing us to see, who are you? Are you part of the problem or are you part of the solution? And I say, I don't judge the sinner, I judge the sins, you know. So the sins is absolutely not acceptable. I will die to transcend this whole thing and be part of making this a beautiful, beautiful world for all of us. But I do not judge them as individuals or divine beings that are indirectly helping us to come to this point, because life has been saying, wakey, wakey, hello, are you listening? And we have not. So it's a point now where, okay, then here's the sledgehammer. So it's smack in our forehead, Corona. That's it. Boom. This is a major wake-up call. Either we go down or we go up. The choice is ours.
Thank you, Ole. And the reason I mentioned the Norway Prime Minister who became the head of NATO, I've got a very interesting story here that you may or may not be aware of. Now, back in 1996 in the UK, there was the Dunblane massacre, where a gunman called Thomas Hamilton murdered 16 children and their teacher. Now, this was in 1996. The Member of Parliament for Dunblane in 1996 was a guy called George Robertson. Now, George Robertson was just a backbench Labour Member of Parliament. This was before Tony Blair became Prime Minister and he still had a Conservative government, so he wasn't a person of note. Then the following year, in May of 1997, when Tony Blair became Prime Minister, this guy, George Robertson, was not been in the Shadow Cabinet or anything, but suddenly he was Secretary of State for Defence. He was our Defence Secretary. Now, after that, he became, in 1999, only a couple of years later, this was straight after him being the Defence Secretary, the Secretary General of NATO. And he served there until 2004. And he's now Baron Robertson of Port Ellen. And it says that he, after NATO, he's a senior counsellor at the Cohen Group, a consulting firm in Washington, D.C. And going to the Dunblane massacre, and this is all on the George Robertson Wikipedia page, folks, not a conspiracy site. It says, Dunblane libel action. Robertson's three children are former pupils of the school in Dunblane where gunman Thomas Hamilton murdered 16 children and their teacher in 1996. After the massacre, Robertson, a long-time resident of the town, acted as a spokesman for the victims' families. He was also a key figure in the subsequent campaign that led to the ban on handguns in Great Britain. In 2003, the Sunday Herald newspaper ran an article entitled Should the Dunblane Dossier Be Kept Secret? A reference to documents relating to the Cullen inquiry into the massacre, which are to remain classified for 100 years. So, Ole, I see some interesting parallels between a guy in Norway who oversaw the massacre by Breivik on that island there and goes on to become the Secretary General of NATO, and this guy who saw a massacre in Scotland and went on to become the Secretary General of NATO. Your thoughts?
I love you, Andrew. That's my thoughts. Because this is it, you know. Just find out the facts, see the patterns, and you will see it being repeated over and over and over and over and over again. So it's not like I'm sitting here with a crystal ball then saying, oh, I think this is going to happen. I think that it's because they have no imagination. It keeps repeating. They're using the same script. It's like watching the same Rambo movie over and over again and expecting to see another ending. You know, it's the same, the same, the same. So this, I would say, this is almost like a template of how this is done. Coming from nowhere, boom, show your loyalty to the New World Order, be awarded. And very often these are then knighted by the queen or whatever, you know, to give or given some kind of Nobel Prize, you know, Peace Prize. I think that is the best one of them all. You got Alfred Nobel, who invented dynamite that has killed more people than, I don't know, you know, with the weapon industry. And then you use the profit from selling things that kills people and you make a peace prize. And then who do you give it to? Henry Kissinger of all war criminals, or Barry Soetero Obama and his Michael, you know, that... for things to come. I mean, wake me up, it's Alice in Wonderland, but it gives credibility as soon as people hear, oh, the Nobel Peace Prize dinner. Oh my God, it's so fantastic. I tell you, that is in your face, totally upside down. They're showing it to us. And this is evil again. They need to show it to us, even in subtle ways. And if we accept it, then the bad karma is on our shoulders. And do they pull it off? It even adds karma, good karma to them. I have that from insiders. So that was a perfect, perfect example of how this is carried out. That individual, I would very much like if you could please send me the link that you were referring to, because that shows you the exact steps of how this is done. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. And then once they're at the top of the World Health Organization or NATO or United Nations or whatever, you never track it back and say, where did this guy appear from? But this, you took it the right order, and then it's very clear that's how it happened.
Yes, absolutely. And I stress as well that this guy, he was a backbench MP. So there would have been at that time when Tony Blair got elected, he'd have had a shadow defence secretary. So why did the Shadow Defence Secretary not take the Defence Secretary job when they got elected? Why was this guy plucked out of the backbenches and put there? But Ole, we are pretty much out of time. We've got about a minute left. Ole's website, folks, is lightonconspiracies.com, lightonconspiracies.com. There'll be a link to that in the post of this show, andrewcarringtonhitchcock.com. Ole, any final comments?
Yeah, a prayer. May the entire universe be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May everyone, and especially the ones who heard us, be filled with peace and joy, love and light. May the light of truth overcome all darkness. So victory to that light. Without them, Andrew, we would not have met. Without them, humanity would not have this amazing chance to impress itself and excel and stand up for what is true and right. You know in your heart, the heart will tell you. Get out of your brain, into your heart, and that's the way forward.
Thank you so much, Ole. A wonderful presentation today. As I said, folks, the website is lightonconspiracies.com. You have been listening to Operation COVID with myself and my guest, Ole Damagard. It is, of course, the weekend tomorrow, so I hope you have a lovely weekend. Thank you for listening. I'll be back with you all on Monday. Until then, folks, bye for now.